Please be seated.
Good afternoon. Third case of the day, 5 Walworth LLC versus Engerman Contracting, Inc., 19 AP 1085 and 86. Could I please have your appearances?
On behalf of who?
All right. Now, the lineup that I have means that your time is going to go very quickly. 10 minutes goes fast. 10 minutes followed by 10 minutes followed by 5 minutes. 10 minutes followed by 5 minutes followed by 15 minutes. Then 5 minutes on rebuttal. Right? Okay. Since that's what we've all agreed to, let's begin. Cranes.
May it please the court, my name is Doug Rains. I represent General Casualty. In this case, the insured contractors installed a pool complex that leaked immediately and persistently for years. When efforts to fix those leaks proved unsuccessful, the plaintiff sued for the cost to remove the pool complex and install a new one in its place. So the issue is this: can there be an initial grant of coverage under a standard CGL policy when there is no damage to third-party property, but instead only faulty workmanship that causes damage only to the insured's own work or product? And the answer is no, because in this circumstance, there is no occurrence causing property damage. In other words, there is no accident that causes damage to third-party property.
Is it your position that it has to be third-party property rather than other property?
I think those are interchangeable based on the case law. Third-party property, I think, would have been most appropriate before Wisconsin Pharmacow. Wisconsin Pharmacow held that the integrated system test needed to be applied to evaluate coverage. And the integrated system test uses the phrase other property. But I think those phrases are interchangeable when evaluating coverage.
American Girl spoke to other property, too, because what happened is they had someone come and tell them what they needed to do in the particular place where they wanted to build and how they needed to compress it. And they did that, and then their building sank. So it was American Girl's building that sank.
That's true, and I have to acknowledge that, Your Honor. I have a few points to raise with respect to American Girl. Okay. Number one, I don't think the insurance companies raised the argument that we raise here, and that is that there would have to be damage to third-party property for there to be an initial grant of coverage. But moreover, the American Girl case is distinguishable in a number of respects, two key respects, really. It's distinguishable on its facts, and it's distinguishable with respect to the application of the integrated system test. In American Girl, you had faulty workmanship, which was the negligent soil preparation advice, which led to an accident, which was the soil movement, which led to property damage, which was damage to the building. In contrast, here we have faulty workmanship, but that did not lead to an accident. The faulty workmanship led to damage to the insured's own work or product. So what we have here is actually the opposite of American Girl. In American Girl, soil movement led to damage to other property. Here, damage to the insured's own work or product led to soil movement. And as the circuit court aptly said, no one is suing to fix the soil. They're suing to fix the pool. So you have to consider what necessitated replacement of the pool.
What about the fact that this was faulty workmanship of a subcontractor? Does that matter?
It doesn't matter because we don't get to the exclusions. It might matter if the exclusions came into play, if there was an exception for subcontractor work under the your product exclusion. But in this case, there's no initial grant of coverage to begin with, and the reason for that is because there's only faulty workmanship alone. Longstanding precedent of this court is that faulty workmanship without something more is not covered.
So if we were to determine that instead of applying this integrated systems test up front in looking at the contract, and instead it applied more to a determination about whether it was your product, what would you still prevail?
Can you repeat?
You understand? Well, that's what the other side's arguing. The pharmacol doesn't belong up front. That we don't look at an integrated system. We look at the words of the contract, which is what American Girl said. We first determine if there's coverage. Then we determine whether or not that is excluded.
I understand, Justice Dowell.
So if it applies just to the exclusion aspect, if it applies when we're looking at whether or not it's your product, and then we look at the integrated systems test, tell me how you would prevail.
From general casualties perspective, it is not necessary for this court to determine that the pool complex is an integrated system. Now, the analysis might be slightly different from acuity's perspective, but from a general casualty's perspective, it's immaterial whether this court considers the pool complex an integrated system because nobody has identified any property that was damaged other than the pool complex itself.
Oh, wait a second. You're saying the pool complex, isn't that the whole crux? Is what do we call the pool complex? Like, this is Shot Creek, which is to make up the pool. I saw the pictures. I read the complaint. There's also pavers. There's also stairs. There's also the deck. There's all this other area. You are using integrated systems when you make that argument because you're saying that the pool complex is the entirety of all of that.
What I'm saying is the court wouldn't necessarily have to overlay the integrated system test on top of the coverage analysis. By the terms of the policy, there would be no coverage anyway because there's no damage to third-party property, irrespective of whether the integrated system test is applied. Now, the integrated system test bolsters the conclusion that there's no damage to property here because I do think that the pool is an integrated system. It's what the contractors and the owners contracted for. It's what the owner bought. It's what the contractors installed. And moreover, each part was integral and had a functional link to each other. That is the standard for the Heinrichs case.
Does your policy talk about third-party property? Are those language in your contract?
No, but there's several reasons why there has to be damage to third-party property, even though it's not referenced in the definition of property damage within the policy. The number one reason for that is the requirement of an occurrence. Faulty workmanship is not an occurrence workmanship is not an accident. The possibility that somebody's product or goods might be defective and have to be repaired or replaced is an inherent part of the bargain for which there is no coverage. In fact, here, the contractor is specifically warranted that the pool would not leak. A breach of that warranty is not an accident.
Counsel, first of all, I would urge you in the future to have your policy as part of the appendix so that we can take a look at the full contract. One of your co-counsel did put in excerpts of your policy, and it isn't occurrence as you define it, is in your policy means an accident including continuous or repeated exposure. Isn't this continuing leaking?
It's
arguably under that?
Yeah, but the leak started as soon as the pool was installed in 2012.
Mm-hmm. And so it continued.
But it was broken from the beginning.
Well, depende.
So,
depends. You can have a little leak, you can have a big leak, you can have a continuous leak, you can have a leak that's repaired by changing the stonework. But let's look at the words of the of the policy, of your contract. I don't know why this isn't arguably continuous or repeated exposure, therefore coming within the definition of occurrence in your contract.
I disagree that there's an occurrence here because the only damage here is to the insured's own work or product. And by the precedent of this court, faulty workmanship alone, which is what we have here, is not an accident and it's not covered.
But it can cause an occurrence, correct?
That's
under
correct.
Our cases. So the argument, as I understand it, is that somebody's faulty workmanship, and of course at this stage that has not been determined and cannot be determined, but somebody's faulty workmanship caused the occurrence, which is the leaking, and that is the accident because
you don't dispute that no one intended the pool to leak, right?
I don't dispute that, but I dispute the notion that the leaking is an accident here, because the leaking did not cause damage to third-party property. Again, all the damage was confined to the work that the contractors did. And again, it was warranted, the contractors specifically warranted that the pool would not leak. The breach of that warranty is exactly the type of thing that is not an occurrence under this court's case law. What an occurrence is, what the risk that the CGL policy is intended to cover, is the risk that the insured's goods would cause damage to someone or something else, not its own product. Otherwise, you're converting a CGL policy into a performance bond.
Well, yes and no. There are exclusions in the contracts for your work, right?
Correct.
But your work has an exception if it's a subcontractor that actually causes the damage.
True.
Rather than the general, right?
True. Yes. But again, there's no initial grant of coverage here. There has to be an accident that causes damage to third-party property, not the property of the work itself.
Yeah, you know, it depends. When you set your argument up, you set it up with phraseology that includes everything that was done that had any relationship to their building a deck and a pool and all the different things that they talk about in the briefs around the pool. And you call it a pool complex. But if you just called it a pool that leaked, maybe the other parts of the complex would be treated differently.
I don't think so, because the entire complex is what the insureds installed. That's what they contracted for.
But
that's their product. I'm sorry to interrupt you, Justice
Robinson.
No, that's okay.
That's okay.
I see my time is up. May I continue to have this dialogue?
Please, please.
Go ahead, please.
Yeah, no. What you said is fine. Your comment is fine. I think it depends, though, on how you set up, how you define what was built. Generally, we look at what is the plaintiff claiming damages for? That's what we look at.
Right. And that goes back to, if I may, Chief Justice.
And then you need to wrap it up.
Yes.
10 minutes goes fast.
It does.
That goes back to what I was saying at the outset, that the plaintiff bought the pool complex. That was the product that the owner bought. That is what was contracted for and what the owners installed. And because there's only faulty workmanship here, there is no initial grant of coverage. And I respectfully request the court reverse the decision of the Court of Appeals. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, the next really fast 10 minutes is about to begin.
Yeah, right.
And then wait till we get to 5 minutes.
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely.
May it please the court. I'm Attorney Joe Mirabella, and I'm here for Acuity. Acuity issued a policy of insurance to Otto Jacobs Company, whose product was incorporated into the subject pool complex. Acuity's policy, like all CGL policies, or most CGL policies, provides initial grant of coverage only for property damage caused by an occurrence. Wisconsin law is clear that faulty workmanship and product alone cannot be an occurrence. However, there needs to be property damage to third-party property, and I realize we've had some of this discussion already.
Do you agree with Mr. Raines that we do not need to get to the issue of whether or not this was an integrated system, that we can just decide this case on whether or not it is an occurrence?
I think the question of whether this is an integrated system does go directly to the heart of the matter, right? This is a pool. It's a pool bowl, and there's a patio that surrounds the pool. There's a retaining wall that supports the pool. There are plumbing and electric that directly serve the pool. All of those things are an integrated system, and I think you need to make that finding, and the court should make that finding based existing precedent.
Okay, so if we make that finding, how do you distinguish that from a house? Where you have all kinds of pieces in a house, and if one of them is faulty, such as windows, what you're saying is basically you can't get any coverage. You're taking integrated system and making it, you're broadening it, and you're asking this court to broaden it. So how would you capture it and make it smaller, if you would.
Sure. I'm not broadening it. I'm not doing anything. The integrated systems test has existed.
Sounds like it to me.
No. I'm happy to explain why I'm not. The integrated systems test has existed for 40 years as the law of this state.
As part of economic loss doctrine.
It originated in the economic loss doctrine, yes. And in that realm, it has a certain meaning, and that meaning has been reaffirmed over the course of decades. In Wisconsin Pharmacol, just 6 years ago, this court adopted the integrated systems test. And what it said is that the integrated systems test is necessary when evaluating coverage under a CGL policy because courts must determine whether the product is to be treated as a unified whole or whether its components can be separated out such that damage to one constitutes damage to other property. So in doing so, I think the court recognized that the integrated systems test serves the same purpose in a coverage context as it does in the economic loss doctrine context. And that is the problem that it solves is that since all but the very simplest of machines have component parts, a holding that a component of a machine was other property when one damages another would result in a finding of property damage caused by an occurrence in nearly every case. So there's a natural symmetry, and that was a quote from the case. So there's a natural symmetry there between the economic loss doctrine and insurance coverage analysis. And this court was careful in Wisconsin Pharmacol to say it doesn't contravene the policy language, but rather acts as an aid in the application of the policy language by helping determine whether there has, in fact, been an accident causing damage to other property, or is it just merely faulty workmanship or product.
But here the allegations, as I understand them, are that the shotcrete, and again, we're just at the allegation stage, did damage the pool because the whole thing had to be replaced. So the entire pool complex was faulty, no good, and had to be replaced because the allegation is the shotcrete is defective. So I think it's an argument can be made that the shotcrete is separable from the pool complex, and the shotcrete is, again, arguably what caused the products to fail.
Sure. And the integrated systems test, as it's defined in the case law, does not ask whether these products are technically indivisible from one another. The integrated systems test asks two questions. Number one, did the purchaser bargain for one complete product as opposed to its individual components? And number two, are the components of that finished product integral to, serving a functional link with and useless separate from that integrated system once they've been incorporated? So that's the test.
But that test is extraneous to the actual policy language. Would you concede?
I believe, and I think Wisconsin law bears out, that the definition of occurrence is an accident. An accident is a sudden and unforeseen and unexpected event occurring by chance.
But do you think that Otto Jacobs, your insured, would have expected that, again, another allegation is that somebody misapplied it? So he's without, or it is without, insurance coverage because somebody misapplied a product that he supplied to prepare a pool or create, build a pool complex that failed. He has no coverage for that.
Yeah, so I'm kind of hearing two different questions. Number one, would the contracting parties have hoped that the product would fail? Of course not. But they do anticipate that as part of their bargain, and they have an opportunity to allocate that risk among them. So when that doesn't come to pass, in the unfortunate instance where something you sell isn't what was bargained for, that's not an accident.
But that's not what at least one of the allegations is that it may have been misapplied. So perhaps there was nothing wrong with the shotcrete, but whomever, and it wasn't Otto Jacobs, whomever installed it, applied it, however you say it, did something wrong. So there may be nothing wrong with Otto Jacobs' shotcrete product. So then there's no coverage there, even though there's an allegation that the product caused damage to a pool complex, which is not shotcrete.
Well, Justice, in your hypothetical, I believe there would be no liability there because they haven't done anything wrong. So I don't know that coverage would ever even come into play. But
you'd have a duty to defend, wouldn't you?
No. Well,
based on the allegations, we don't know if they're true or not.
Sure, which we've done in this case. And then you'd proceed to the coverage stage of the litigation where the true facts would be allowed to come out. And if the true facts were that there was nothing wrong with their shotcrete at all, well, then there would be no liability and there would be no duty to defend.
We can't find the true facts until there's a trial.
Go ahead. That's true. We can. The argument applies with equal force, I think, to faulty workmanship. When there's only faulty workmanship, there's no accident, there's no initial grant of coverage for all of the same reasons. So
earlier in your comments, you described occurrence, and it was like a quick, an accident, something quick. What's the definition of occurrence in your insurance contract?
It's an accident.
Is that it?
I believe you said it before. I don't have the exact language in front of me, but including repeated exposure to the same or substantially similar conditions might be the language.
Not necessarily something quick if it's repeated exposure, right?
I think once the accident happens, there can be repeated exposure to whatever that accident was, but there has to be an accident in the first place, and that, unquestionably, under Wisconsin law, is a sudden, unexpected, unforeseen.
Well, let's take a look at the language of your insurance contract.
Sure.
Again, I wish you would have supplied your total insurance contract. I didn't see it. I saw excerpts, and here it is. Occurrence means an accident, but then it defines what accident means. Accident includes continuous or repeated exposure to substantially the same general harmful conditions. So there's a temporal nature to the definition, quick, and then repeated exposure also is defined, I think, in your policy as an accident occurrence. Push back if you disagree.
Sure. Yeah. No, I mean, I don't disagree that those words are there. And again, I think Wisconsin law has interpreted the definition of accident repeatedly over the course of the last couple of decades.
We see this sometimes in environmental cases or other kinds of cases where you have the seepage of things, repeated.
Sure. And my response would that would be, unless there's an initial accident, a sudden unforeseen event occurring by chance, unless there's that, the repeated exposure part never comes into play.
And where do you see that in the language of your insurance contract?
Well, I suppose in the word including. It doesn't say and. It doesn't say only when, right? So that, I guess, it would be there.
It includes. It doesn't have to be like that, does it?
I think the law is clear that it does. Moving on to, I want to make clear, as Wisconsin Pharmacol did, that the integrated systems test applies equally to a subcontractor or supplier of a component as it does to a general contractor or seller of the complete finished product. And we know that's the case because that's exactly what Wisconsin Pharmacol evaluated. It asked whether there was coverage under the policy for the defective ingredient supplier. And I apologize, my red light is on. Can I finish? It evaluated whether there was coverage for the supplier of the defective ingredient for damages caused to the other components of the pill. And this court said that there was no coverage for that. There was no initial grant of coverage for that. And this court very specifically made that finding in the initial grant of coverage stage of its opinion. It's literally under a section that says initial grant of coverage. And then the court went on to evaluate the exclusions separately, quote unquote, in the interest of completeness, only after having already concluded there was no initial grant of coverage. So I think it's crystal clear in Pharmacol, the integrated system test belongs in the initial grant of coverage stage. And if you apply that here, under these facts, exactly as you did in Pharmacol, the conclusion you will reach is that the pool complex was an integrated system. And we'd ask that the court find no coverage for that reason. Thank you.
Thank you, and may it please the court. My name is Henry Colts, and I represent West Bend Mutual Insurance Company. I rise to address a unique issue in this case, specifically that the West Bend policies do not provide coverage to Angerman in this case because the alleged defects that we're here about occurred prior to the inception of West Bend Mutual's policies. This argument requires only a simple mechanical application of the language of the West Bend Mutual Insurance Company policies applied to the unrebutted facts of this case.
Isn't there a genuine issue of material fact, at least at this stage, about that? Is it as simple as you're making it sound?
I do not believe there is, Your Honor.
Okay.
And I can go through that if you'll allow.
We have 5 minutes. Yeah.
Okay, thank
Sorry.
You. So coverage under the West Bend policy commenced on October 27th of 2013, and that's critical because the complaint here unambiguously alleges that the pool's failure was immediate in 2012, lasted throughout 2012, continued into 2013, and then persisted throughout all of 2013. That's all before the inception of the West Bend Mutual Insurance Company policies. So we actually conducted discovery to flesh out whether Angerman had notice of those issues prior to the inception of the West Bend policies. And I'll submit to the court that what we determined is unrebutted in the record. Specifically, it's unrebutted that on August 19th of 2012, Angerman received an email stating that, quote, Curtis told me that the pool leak was found and supposedly fixed yesterday morning, unsuccessfully, unfortunately. On August 20th of 2012, John Angerman, the principal of Angerman, replied, Hi, I'd like to pay a visit to the pool if that's okay. He conducted that visit, and then thereafter on August 27th of 2012, he emailed again stating, As you can see, the stone is being replaced. That was also a source of the water leak. But that didn't fix the problem. It's unrebutted that throughout the spring and into June of 2013, the pool continued to leak. It's unrebutted that on August 2nd, 2013, John Angerman was copied on email stating that, quote, the autofill is running 24/7 and obviously cannot keep up with the leak. And that, quote, the kiddie pool has been leaking since day one and you guys have come up with all sorts of excuses. Clearly it is a leak, in all caps.
Counsel,
fix the damn leak.
Is there a difference between, in your brief, you have, starting on page 33 where you discuss this, you say, in the heading, leaks and damages. Leaks and damages. And so certainly, in my mind, the emails show that he was well aware of the leaks. What about damages? Did you receive or did anyone receive a claim for damages here?
Well, Judge, first of all, the damage here would be simply that the pool does not function for the purpose it was intended, namely to hold water so people can swim in it. When it leaks, it doesn't perform that function. So that's the damage. But whether or not there's a specific claim for damages is immaterial given the language of the West Bend policy.
Well, the language of the West Bend policy provides a set forth in page 43, sub 2, receives a written or verbal demand or claim for damages because of property damage, becomes aware by any other means that property damage has occurred or has been begun. So it seems to me that it potentially is relevant under the language of your policy.
Well, Judge, if there's no damages, then there would be no coverage because the West Bend policy doesn't extend coverage to cases in which there's no damages. That's fundamental to the policy.
No.
But
okay, Mike, counsel.
Yes.
Was there a claim for damages, written or verbal?
Yes, Your Honor. And find that. I'll assert that on I have too many pieces of paper in front of me. I apologize.
I feel your pain.
Yes, I welcome to the world of insurance law. On August 2nd of 2013, John Angerman received an email that said, quote, the kiddie pool has been leaking since day one, and you guys have come up with all sorts of excuses. Clearly, it is a leak. Fix the damn leak. That's a quote, not my language.
Yeah, I read it.
So I think that that constitutes a fair claim or a fair claim being made to repair the pool.
In his deposition, though, didn't he say that he believed that the leaking that had been complained
Yes, and that's where the policy comes into Justice Krosky. The West Bend policy says that it extends coverage only if the bodily injury or property damage occurs during the policy period. And if, prior to the policy, no insured knew that the bodily injury or property damage had occurred in whole or in part. And critically, the policy continues on some page here. If a listed insured knew prior to the policy period that the bodily injury or property damage occurred, then any continuation, change, or resumption of such bodily injury or property damage during or after the policy will be deemed to have been known prior to the policy period. So here, I don't think it works to simply try and play semantics and say, well, I knew there was a leak, but I thought we'd fix that one. This is a different leak. The policy says that if it resumes, continues, or changes, it's deemed to have occurred prior to the policy's inception. And I see that I'm out of time.
Goes fast.
Okay, thank you very much. I appreciate it. And we, if I could finish, we'd respectfully request that the Court of Appeals decision be vacated, the Circuit Court's decision reinstated and remanded. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. Next up, 10 minutes.
Thank you. I'm Tom Gardner. I'm here on behalf of Ingerman Contracting, Inc., John Ingerman's company. What I think is interesting about all the arguments that are being made here today is that we have a contractor who bought a policy that had a three-step process basically in it. You had the initial coverage issue, which just required that there be an accident that caused damage. That's the kind of language in the policy. At the second step, you had exclusions. There's a business risk exclusion for your work or your product. And then there's an exception. And it's the exception that every general contractor in the state of Wisconsin relies upon. And that's the exception that allows for coverage for subcontractors. That means that a general contractor like John Ingerman can go out, hire all subcontractors to do his work, general the work, and have insurance so that he's protected if there are problems. I think that this court recognized, even in the Pharmacol case, by citing American Girl and some of the other cases that are similar to American Girl, that American Girl is the type of analysis that comes into play here. The three-step process. One is their coverage. Two, is there an exclusion? Three, is there an exception? And so it's as if the counsel for the insurance companies here think that what Pharmacol did was eliminate American Girl. Instead, Pharmacol cited American Girl. So your rulings are consistent in that regard. Now, if we take a look at that initial stage, when you look at what is other damage, again, in American Girl, you have a similar circumstance to this case. You have an engineer talking about giving plans that relate to subsurface soil. That subsurface soil causes a problem. So basically, the accident is what occurs after that time. The building sinks. The building has to be replaced. So what happened in this case? The same thing as an American Girl. We have a situation where there are subcontractors. They supply, allegedly, some shotcrete that didn't work in one way or the other. They supply, in terms of design, we have a pool company, Downs, a subcontractor, who designed a pool where they say, according to the Wisjani report, that the rebar is too far apart, that the design is wrong for that pool and that whole and that complex. So in that circumstance, we have a similar circumstance. We have water in the soil. What happens with the soil then? Water leaks from the soil out, from the pool in. You have all sorts of subsurface problems. Ultimately, like the building in American Girl, this pool ends up being replaced.
So is your argument that we do not need to walk back any of the language in Pharmacol?
I don't think you need to. I think like what the appellate court said in this case was that it seemed that the Supreme Court had combined two steps into one in a way, right? I think these things are totally consistent. You deal with the first issue, and that is there an accident that caused harm? Then you go to the second issue, and you can deal with a pharmacol case if you want to. What's interesting
that's
about
the exclusion point when we're
yes, it's your work or your product at that stage. So then the question is, what is your work or your product? You could look at the integrated system analysis at that point. But the interesting part, and why the insurance industry doesn't want to have the three-step analysis that you've used for 20 years, is because you never even need to do that. Because the exception to the exclusion ends up having coverage when you have subcontractor work. If for some reason you needed to look at the integrated systems analysis, well, that's easy too. Because I don't think this court really equates, based on all these cases that you've dealt with over the years, I don't think this court equates a pill with a house. It doesn't equate a pill with a multi-story building like an American Girl. And what, in that case, in the pharmacol case, what harm actually came from that pill? Was there damage from that pill? No, the real issue in that case was an ingredient was defective. It was an ingredient. That was what that case was about.
Well, and the other components of the pill didn't change their nature because of the wrong ingredient being put in. I think you make an important point that pharmacol is a very different structure than what we had in American Girl and what we have here.
Yes, I think it's dramatically different.
But and what guidance could we give insurance companies and insureds to avoid future litigation as far as when something is more like pharmacol and when something is more like an American Girl situation?
Well, I think if you just reiterate that you use the three-step analysis here, yeah, that covers what you need to do. Because at step two, if it was a different circumstance, if you're dealing with a pill or you're dealing with like an indivisible whole, well, then you apply your integrated system test.
But that test is extraneous to the policy language. It's something the court created, isn't it?
That's true. That's true. And I think the policy language is consistent with the three-step analysis of American Girl. So,
can you respond to Mr. Koltz's argument about there being no issue as to when this leak started and therefore West Bend's policy in terms of its coverage in this case is that we could say that they don't have to cover anything based on when the leak started?
Well, I can address that, Justice, but Ms. LaGrada will have nothing to say.
No, so then I will let her do that. That's fine. As long as somebody does.
Good. That's great.
So I think for reasons set out in the amicus brief as well, for other general contractors like John Ingerman, you know, John Ingerman would be in a situation, as would these other general contractors, where they are one house away from being bankrupt if they don't have coverage. One house away, or in this case, one massive pool complex away, right? Because we have here a pool complex that cost over $400,000. It costs more than 95% of residential homes in the state of Wisconsin for a pool. And if you look at, when you talk about the integrated whole type idea, if you look at this pool complex, all sorts of things could just stand alone. It is other property. You have walls, you have a patio. Anybody would love just sitting on that patio. They don't need a pool.
Well, Ms., can I ask you a question, Mr. Garnier? Mr. Raines, as I understood his argument, is saying that we don't need to get to this integrated systems analysis because he's not conceding that the leaking was the occurrence. So you don't even get to the analysis that you're talking about right now. What do you say in response to that?
That the leak isn't an occurrence?
That's what I understood him.
Well, it doesn't make any sense to me. It's the same sort of circumstance. The leak is, but from the leak is the occurrence. Well, the leak is the initial instance that goes to coverage. After that point, the accident that occurs is everything else that follows from there. Just like in the American Girl case, where we're dealing with. The leak is like the advice of the soil engineer. So we believe, for the reasons that we have stated here and in our briefs, that we have established that there should be coverage in this case for John Ingerman and his company, and we would ask that you affirm the Court of Appeals.
Counsel, since your yellow light's on, be yes. quick, one follow-up question. Just how would you want us to write it? I'm curious how you would ask us to phrase it under your argument if we accepted it, that this is more like American Girl than Pharmacol, or we do or don't need to apply the integrated systems test. Exactly what would you want us to say? What are you advocating that we say?
I think that you should say that the appropriate analysis is the three-step process from American Girl that you followed before. And to the extent that you wish to address the Pharmacol case and the integrated system analysis, I think you should confine that to the facts or similar facts to that case. Are there any other questions?
And are you advocating that that would go in the second step of the three-step process?
I absolutely am, yes. If there are no questions, I'll turn things over to Ms. LaGrotta.
All right.
May it please the Court, Michelle LaGrotta on behalf of Ingerman Contracting. West Bend has raised the known loss provision in this matter. And I think what's important to look at with respect to the known loss provision is the actual policy terms and how they describe it. Specifically, they describe that the insurance applies to property damage only if that property damage occurs during the policy period and if prior to the policy period, no insured knew that the bodily injury or property damage had occurred in whole or part. And then they further define when it will be deemed to have known, and that is when they receive a written or verbal demand or claim for damages because of the property damage or become aware by any other means that property damage has occurred. The key here is the term property damage. West Bend relies on emails that discuss leaks, and that's it. They don't rely on emails that discuss property damage. At this stage, the record below is insufficient to determine what is property damage specifically in regards to leaking. Our position is that defective work caused by the subcontractors caused massive leaking, which in turn resulted in property damage such as the soil erosion, cracks in the walls, unstable pool decks, unstable walls. And that right there is the property damage. The earliest that you get to Mr. Ingerman's knowledge about property damage is arguably in 2015 or 16 when the plaintiffs in this case called for Ingerman Downs to meet with, as Wisp Janney did, an inspection of the property. That's when they learned the extent of what the damage that the leaking may have caused.
So Mr. Colts quoted some other language, and I don't have it in front of me. He talked about some other language that talked, because I asked him about the rectified language from the deposition, and he said, yes, but it was like a continuation. I'm not using the right word because I didn't write it down fast enough. But can you respond to what he said?
Regarding the continuation?
Yes.
Yes. Yes, there is the policy further states, and I can quote it for Your Honor, if such a listed insured or authorized person knew prior to the policy period that bodily injury or property damage occurred, then any continuation, change, or resumption of such property damage during or after the policy period will be deemed known prior to the policy period. The distinction here is that we don't believe leaking is the property damage. So that wouldn't be the continuation of property damage.
But how could there be any leaking if there wasn't some physical, I'm using the language from the policy, physical injury to tangible property? There had to be some injury in order to produce leaking. Would you agree?
Yes, but part of the issue is the then why we would ask for this court to abstain from making a decision on this matter is that the record below is insufficient to fully determine exactly what is property damage. Was it the leaking that caused the soil erosion? Was the leaking the cause of the property damage, or was the faulty design? We're still very early on. Further, we would highlight.
I hear you saying, I think, that it's not the pool leak that is the property damage. It must be something extraneous to the pool structure, like damage to the dirt or damage to something else other than this pool deck and the pool and the whole pool structure. So knowing that that structure is insufficient to say there's property damage, it would have to be proof that that leak is causing something else to go wrong. Is that it?
Yes, Your Honor, because otherwise what we're dealing here right now is Mr. Ingerman had a punchless item. They were told that there was a leak after the completed item. That punchless item, they believe they rectified it. They become aware that the leak wasn't corrected. So this is typical in construction. You have punchless items that you go back to and repair, fix, fix with time. However, if we were to determine that that leak alone was the property damage, what you're going to be telling contractors is that any time that a punchless item comes up, they need to immediately make their insurers aware, even if they plan to rectify it. And I see that my time is up, but I may, if you would like me to continue, I may.
No, if you're finished, then you're finished.
Thank you. We would simply ask for a ruling in Mr. Ingerman's favor.
All right, 15 minutes. The most time of the day.
Good afternoon. May it please the court. Attorney Sheila Shadman Emerson appearing on behalf of Otto Jacobs. While Ingerman and Otto Jacobs are similarly situated and that they are both insureds in this situation, Otto Jacobs' position is different. Otto Jacobs was not a general contractor for the project. Otto Jacobs supplied the shotcrete to a project subcontractor for a subcontractor to install in the walls of the pool bowl at the project. This point is critical as it frames the court's analysis here, which is the contract between Otto Jacobs and Acuity. This is also important because Acuity attempts to utilize the integrated system approach to characterize the entire Ingerman project as Otto Jacobs' product. It is not. Otto Jacobs' product is the shotcrete. With that framework in mind, there are two topics related to Otto Jacobs that I'll address today. First, there is coverage under the Acuity policy because there was property damage caused by an occurrence. And second, the Your Work exclusion does not extinguish coverage. As to the initial grant of coverage, the plain language of the Acuity policy should be applied. As explained by counsel for Ingerman, there is an occurrence here. While the allegations are disputed, as noted by the court, there are allegations that there was a misapplication of shotcrete, there was insufficient rebar, and inferior shotcrete mix on the project. This caused cracking of the shotcrete and leaking of the pool, which in turn destabilized the soil and caused damage to items such as the pavers, the deck, retaining walls, and other areas explained in the WJE report. This analysis of an occurrence, as noted by counsel for Ingerman, is consistent with this decision in both American Girl and Wisconsin Pharmacol. In fact, American Girl confirms that there can be an occurrence when there is damage to another portion of a construction project.
Is your position the same as Engerman's position when it comes to Pharmacol? That is, that you're not asking us to overrule it at all?
Our position is that the integrated system does not apply here because you do not need to look to the integrated system. You just need to look to the definition of property damage in the policy.
doesn't apply ever or doesn't apply up front for the initial question under the three questions of America Girl?
That it does. Our position is that the integrated system analysis was used in Wisconsin Pharmacol to assist the court in determining whether there was property damage under the policy, and that there is no need to look at that here because all you need to do is look at the policy language.
So are you agreeing with them that it has to be damage to some other property around the pool complex in order for there to be coverage? I almost hear you saying the exact same thing.
As the two of you,
but I think also counselor saying that both sides are saying it has to be other property. Can't be the pool complex being bad. There's no coverage for just the pool complex being bad. It has to be something else other than the pool complex.
No.
Keep talking about the soil and the this and the that. These are all things other than the things that make up the pool and the deck and the things around the pool.
Well, and that is if you were to, their argument is that it is an integrated system. Our position is that it is not an integrated system. Our position is that the policy defines property damage. Under the policy, under the acuity policy, all that is required for an initial grant of coverage is that there is an occurrence property damage caused by an occurrence. The policy.
What's the property damage?
Here, the property damage is all of the damage that occurred to the pool.
Oh, okay, so it's the pool cracking.
The property damage is the damage to the pavers, the damage to the deck. All of the damage identified in the WJE report.
Okay, I heard you talking about soil and things like that.
Well, Your Honor, I was talking about that with respect to whether there was an occurrence or not, as there was some discussion as to whether there was an occurrence. So with respect to property damage specifically, the policy defines property damage as physical injury to tangible property, which we have here. What Acuity is attempting to modify the definition of property damage to impose requirements that are not contained in the policy.
So you wouldn't use Pharmacol at all then? You don't think integrated system test belongs in this analysis, period?
Correct.
So you basically want us to overturn it or somehow distinguish it or what?
Our position is that Wisconsin Pharmacol does not apply here to the facts of this case, that in Wisconsin Pharmacol, it was used in that particular situation to assist the court in determining whether there was property damage, but the facts are so different that it need not apply here.
Okay, I hear you say that, but can you tell us how you would distinguish it? What's the distinguishing principles that you draw from your case versus Pharmacol?
Yes, in general, when discussing an integrated test, Wisconsin Pharmacol did so in the context of whether there was property damage, because there was uncertainty as to whether there was any physical damage at all to any property in that case. Here, there is no such uncertainty. There are no ingredients. There is no blending. Here, there are allegations of physical injury to tangible property, including but not limited to the deck, the pavers, the wall coping stones, retaining walls, and other items in the WJE report. So here, the facts are so distinguishable that it does not apply to construction projects.
I think your opposing counsel would say what you're saying is it's not an integrated system, which may be a different argument, but that may be right, you know, maybe wrong in this particular scenario, but still sort of begs the question about what we're supposed to do in giving guidance and, you know, in talking about it, because you've got an argument on the other side that says we're always supposed to do that. That's part of how you conduct the analysis of whether there's been property damage. And are you saying you don't always have to do that? But I'm still not sure exactly when we're supposed to do that or not do that under your theory, how we're supposed to, or lower courts are supposed to make that determination. We have to write an opinion, so we think that way sometimes.
And I think that I will echo what Counsel for Engerman said as well, that the court's instruction should be to follow the three-step process of looking at whether there is an initial grant of coverage, whether the exclusions apply, and then whether any exceptions to the exclusions apply. To the extent that the court wants to address Wisconsin Pharmacol specifically with respect to the integrated system test, that it should be limited to the facts of that case.
But isn't the word property damage, doesn't that have, in some cases it doesn't really have importance. I guess I'm stuck on that for some reason, because it seems like that's the first question. If there's no property damage, you don't go further to look for exclusions or exceptions. So I do think the word property damage is super important in this particular fact scenario, because if the pool and its structure and the complex is not property, that a leak of that is property damage, then you don't go any further to look at exceptions or exclusions, right? So I hear people saying different things. I hear, oh, there it's not property damage that would put us on notice such that a policy is excluded because it has to be to soil or something else. I mean, it either is or isn't the pool complex. And to me, that's the first question we have to take a closer look at, right? It's not always in every case, but in this one, that seems to be important.
Here, Your Honor, the question is whether there is a property damage caused by an occurrence. So if we're focusing on the term property damage, that is defined in the policy. Property damage is defined as physical injury to tangible property, including all resulting loss of use of that property. Here, there is physical injury to tangible property.
So the pool complex is the property.
To the different components of the pool.
The leak of the pool project is the property damage.
The property damage includes items that were damaged, such as the deck, the pavers, the wall coping stones, the retaining walls. The WJE report identifies cracking that happened in those as well.
All right, maybe I'm just...
The leaking is the occurrence. Is that your argument?
Correct. The leaking caused the crack. There was cracking that caused leaking, which in turn caused soil displacement, which caused cracking and other damages to other portions.
So the property damage part is the soil displacement or the initial cracking and leaking?
The property damage is all of the items that were identified as being damaged in the WJE report. Items that suffered damage included the deck, the pavers, the wall coping stones, retaining walls, because there was additional cracking and displacement and other issues.
I kind of hear you saying it's damage to other property. Property damage is damage to other property, because you keep talking about the things that happened after the initial crack and leak.
Property damage encompasses any physical injury to tangible property.
But there is an exclusion for your product, so you are not making a claim for coverage to the extent of the shotcrete itself, because that's your product. Is that
correct?
Accurate?
I mean, really, that falls under the definition of physical damage to tangible property. You then look to the exclusions after that as part of that third step.
Oh, but it seems like we're kind of skipping by that first step about property damage. That's what you got to look at first, isn't it?
Maybe I can jump in and help with another question. I don't mean to intercede, but as I understand your argument, it's that the property damage is to the pool complex. And so your client is seeking coverage to the extent the allegations are that there was property damage to the pool complex. But what would be excluded would be any damage to the shotcrete, because that's your product under the policy language. Is that an accurate summary of your argument?
That is, in the respect that all of the property damage, whether that's to the pool complex or the components of the pool complex, So that is the property damage.
But then with regard to your work, there is an exception to the exclusion?
There is, Your Honor. That there is a subcontractor exception to the your work exclusion, but the exclusion that Acuity has asserted against Otto Jacobs is the your product exclusion. And the your product exclusion excludes coverage for property damage to your product arising out of it or any part of it. And here the damages go beyond repairing or replacing the shotcrete. And here there has been no evidence that the deck, the pavers, retaining walls, or any other area was damaged as a result of accessing the shotcrete. So the your product exclusion does not extinguish coverage here. And for these reasons, there is property damage caused by an occurrence under the Acuity policy, and the your product exclusion does not extinguish coverage. As such, Otto Jacobs respectfully requests that the court affirm the decision of the Court of Appeals as to Otto Jacobs.
Thank you. Rebuttal.
Okay, so is the property damage when the pool cracked and leaked, or when the attenuating things happened as a result of the crack and leak, or all of it together, or what?
Chief Justice, respectfully, I don't believe that there is property damage. And that's because I think, as PharmaCal said, at the first step of the three-step coverage analysis, we apply this integrated system
Counsel,
risk analysis.
Counsel, we'll stop your clock for a minute, but please raise the podium so that you can stand up and be more comfortable.
I did not want to disrespect the Chief Justice, so I launched right in.
No, that's certainly the appropriate thing to do, but you're having some difficulties there.
Oh, I know who's in charge here. Thank you. So, with respect, at the first step of the coverage analysis, we apply the integrated systems analysis. That's what PharmaCal told us to do. And to answer one of the concerns before, isn't the pill different than the house? I don't think we should let sound legal precedent drown in scale. Just because we can look at a pool and say, this is a large paver, this is a 2x4, this is a piece of rebar, and we don't as easily conceptualize the component parts of a pill, that doesn't make the integrated systems analysis any less applicable.
Counsel, if the water seepage here ended up damaging the parking lot, would that be an occurrence?
Yes, absolutely. And that's
and if
what
it damaged the main lobby, would that be an occurrence?
I'm sorry.
The main lobby of a hotel.
Yes. So here's an example. If the pool had failed and we had a sudden cataclysmic burst of one of the walls, and this is on beautiful Lake Geneva up a hill, and if it started tumbling down the hill, deluge of water, and there was somebody on that famous path that goes around Lake Geneva on a bicycle, and a piece of rock hit the bike and hurt the bike, the CGL would provide coverage for that because that's damage to truly other property. That's something totally extrinsic to the pool complex. It wasn't a part of the contract. Or if, heaven forbid, the rider of that bike was hurt.
What about a bathroom in the pool complex area?
So if that was a part of the original contract, if that was part of what Engerman's product to deliver to 5 Walworth was, and that was the only damage that occurred, that's a part of the product. There's no coverage for that under a CGL policy.
Counsel, the Seventh Circuit, in their, Haley decision, distinguished PharmaCal. And let's say this court distinguished PharmaCal and kept it to its facts. So, PharmaCal does not control this analysis initially. What's your argument, assuming that we distinguish PharmaCal here?
Well, again, here, Justice, I don't think there's been any damage articulated to other property. So, again, there would be no coverage under the CGL policy. But I think, with due deference to the Seventh Circuit, where I've not had great experiences. I don't think that they should have. I don't think
supposed
that
to
they,
say that.
Sometimes an admission is okay. I don't think that they should have distinguished PharmaCal. I think it's an eloquent and required rule because when we have this three-step analysis, the first step is to determine, is there an initial grant of coverage? And how do we do that with a product? Well, we determine if there's damage to other property or injury to a person. The integrated systems analysis in that context makes perfect sense. We look, is there anything damaged other than the product itself? If there is, then we get to the second step. And that second step is, okay, now we have this broad grant of coverage because we've established that there is damage to other property. Now we look at the entire universe of claims and we start applying exclusions to parse out from that entire universe of claims what isn't covered, your work, your product. So in my example, your work, your product wouldn't be covered for the pool, but the damage to the bicycle, the damage to the bicyclist would. That's when the exclusions come in.
Aren't then, you kind of yes. arguing against yourself, though? Because I thought your argument was that they had notice of the property damage because they had notice of the leak.
I think that's correct, Your Honor. They had notice of the leak, and their argument is that that leak constitutes property damage. So even if they're claiming that the leak is property damage, they had notice of it. There's no coverage under the West Penn policy.
So in that instance, it doesn't have to be other property.
Well, Judge, I respectfully argue that there is no damage to other property. That if that's the finding of this court, then there's no coverage under any of the policies. If the court finds that that leak constitutes damage to other property, then again, the West Bend policy has no coverage because of those sections that we discussed earlier. Mm-hmm. That would, I guess, appropriately be an argument in the alternative.
Right.
There's no way I'm going to get through what I have written, but I'll try. I think, in a nutshell, what this case is about is contractors have to analyze risk. They have to look at a project on the front end and they have to see what their risks are. Then they have to determine how they're going to address those risks. The way to address the risk that a piece of property, that a product will cause damage to someone else or some other property, that's a CGL policy. But the method by which you address the risk, let's see that my red light.
Go ahead and finish your sentence.
The method that we address the risk that a product simply won't live up to expectations, won't do what it was intended to do, that's a performance bond. This entire case is about Engerman not having done that analysis the correct way on the front end and now trying to convert CGL policies into performance bonds, overturning decades and decades and decades of law to do so. We respectfully request that this court, overturn the Court of Appeals decision, reinstate the Circuit Court's decision, and remand this case. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Thank you for a very interesting and thorough argument. The court will meet at 3 o'clock.